Meeting called to order. Deb, would you like to say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Julia.
Andrew Brockway, Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Michael Hagedorn.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Jason Marsh. Ken Maurer.
Here.
Debbie Pasino.
Here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Alexis March.
Here.
Approval of agenda. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the agenda. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Mike. All in favor? Any nays? Resignation of board member. Resolved that the Board of Education accepts Joseph Grazane's resignation as a board member from the Beatmatown Central School District. Term expires on June 30th, 2018, and this is effective as of September 14th, 2016.
Motion.
Thank you, Deb. Second?
Second.
Is that Pauline?
Yeah.
I would like to see if anyone has any discussions, any questions, any ideas.
Can I just share with you, Joanne's done some research on this.
Okay.
She may share that with the board, and that might help with the discussion, if that's all right. Mm-hmm.
We've been in contact with the New York State School Board. There's a couple ways the board can fill the vacant board member seat. You can hold a special election to fill the seat, or the Board of Education can make an appointment, which must be done within 90 days of the resignation.
Is the resignation the day we accept it, or the day the letter was written?
The day he filed it.
The day he filed it.
I didn't hear the answer.
The day the board clerk accepts it, stamps it.
So it'd be 90 days from September 14th.
So we're a month out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to make a recommendation that we ask Mr. King if he would like to serve the term, since he just did such a good job last year. I mean, you know, since he's been on for such a long time. Mm-hmm.
Any other suggestions?
One of the other things that we had discussed before, because we've been in this boat now a couple of times, was canvassing the community by requesting letters of interest, and I'm not suggesting that Mr. King's certainly as a possibility, because he was a very loyal member as well, but that's another option too.
How does anyone feel about election?
Can I give you some? The election is always a viable option. We will be having an election in January, which is actually outside that 90-day window. So you'd be then looking at having three elections in almost a half a year.
And what is the cost approximately?
Well, it's actually a little bit less than we thought, but was it 1900?
Yeah, a little less than 1900.
We projected it was going to be about $4,000 because you had to borrow machines. So, but the cost came in at $1,900. I believe that's the number we were discussing last week.
It was the last election came in about $1,900, but to hold a special election or election for this, it would cost more, because when we hold the election, we hold it with all the other school districts on the same day, and some of those costs are split with all the districts. So they're split eight ways, where it'll just be split. The district will have to pay some of the costs. It won't be split, some of the cost to the County Board of Elections.
But a special election at this time would be the 19th?
No, it would be more than that.
It would be more than that.
Because there's no shared cost.
We share the cost on the transporting and setting up the machines and the technician. We share those costs with the other school districts in May.
How do we go about making an appointment? Do we do that here and now? Or what's the process?
So it could be as simple as something like calling, just talked about, or you could ask for letters. It's really up to the board. You could be as creative as you want. You certainly know when you have other information, sometimes it's easier. Like we've had an election when there was a next highest vote getter. Well, we don't have that in this situation. Right. But you do have somebody, it's not the next highest vote getter, but it was somebody who over the course of their career certainly served us really well and received a lot of votes along the way. So, but it's up to the board, really.
Well, I would second Pauline's suggestion. Mr. King served for 10 plus years.
Oh, did you make a motion?
No.
Oh, okay.
He said he agreed.
Suggestion.
A suggestion.
Okay.
But if we need a motion, I can make a motion. Whatever. But the thing is, we have to ask Mr. King if he's interested.
Well, but we also have members not here whose input then is not part of that process. Are we comfortable with that?
I would have to say yes, because there's a majority of members here, and we can't always guarantee that everyone's going to make every meeting, and we only have so much time to fill the seat. So we have, we're one short. So one short.
Mr. Marsh.
Two, three, four, five, six. Oh, yeah. Two.
Marsh.
And
Andy.
Yeah. So,
that's
okay. Okay. Do I just ask you in front of everybody?
Before you end up bringing another motion, you have to vote on the one that you already pronounced on board.
Okay. All right. So does anyone else have anything that they feel they need to add to this discussion? We're all good? Okay. I have... all in favor?
For the resignation?
We have
to finish the resignation. So I'm asking for all in favor.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. So now what do we do?
Someone needs to make a motion. And you can make motions.
Okay. All right. I'd like to make a motion requesting appointing Leonard King, if he is willing, to finish out Joe Grazian's term.
He'll only be appointed until the May election. He won't finish his term.
Right.
He's only going to be appointed
until the next election.
Until the election, and then that seat will go on the ballot, and that night will be determined who will fill that seat.
Okay.
We need a letter of intent to Mr. King along with the project. We make that motion. We need a letter stating that he is interested so that we have that.
There's no requirement for a letter. It's a great question. There's no requirement, legal requirement. But we do want to make sure he wants it. He has to be working on it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you. I got really nervous here all of a sudden. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any no's? All right.
Okay, so now if he comes forward, I'll swear him in and he'll take a seat.
All right.
Just Hey, you already have a name, please.
Did you enjoy your vacation?
Okay, is there anyone that would like to add any additional discussion before we move on to the next item?
I'd like to. Okay, so I think this is effective. I let it on quickly, obviously because of his background and his experience with the board. Going forward, we're also going to have to address some of these issues again in the next election. It would be good to have a lot more interest in general of the population, so maybe we need to do some sort of a marketing effort, go out there and promote the idea of participation on the board with the community and try to see if anybody else is really interested, other than have it be just a surprise that board seats are open, and then what happens when you don't get enough participants on some election coming up?
So we have four seats.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly
four seats.
We'll have four seats.
So, and you make a very good suggestion, and you're looking over at me, and I don't mind being one of those people to go out there and do that, but then part of the problem becomes, did Dan recruit that board member? That's not that's not a great spot.
I think the board should do it, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you should be removed from the process only because of that perception.
Okay. But we can help you with any type of materials or anything you might want or desire. We can certainly provide help or guidance and put you in contact with others who can also help.
Just to let the full board know, several years ago on the ballot was to reduce the board terms from 5 years down to 3 years. So this May 2017 election, there's three seats up for three-year terms. That's when it actually evened all out. And then Mr. Graziani's seat will go up for the remaining of his term. So that's why there'll be four seats up. But three will be for 3 years, and the rest will be for the remaining term of Mr. Graziani until June 30, 2018.
And then every year thereafter, it's three seats. Before it used to be two. Now it's going to be three every year.
One of the things that you probably want to look at is lowering your count if you can't get people from 9 to 7. I mean, this is something there that you need to look at. If people are not interested, advertise and see what you can get. But if you can't, it's something you need to look at.
But that still has to be voted upon, and then it doesn't take place for a whole other year.
Exactly.
Right? It would be voted in May if we were to make that choice. And then it would be the following May. So we certainly do need to spread the word out there and try to do what we can to generate reasonable interest.
Is that, if we were to consider changing the size of our board from 9 to 7, is that something that we could do in January because we're already having a motion?
Can we ask that question?
No. That's decided by the voters and only decided at the annual meeting in May.
Okay.
So it has to go on the ballot in May if that's what the board wishes to do. And then the voters determine whether the membership would get reduced from 9 to 7.
So just to kind of move forward and not spend too much time on this, I can take it upon myself to contact NISBA, see if there's any research on population size, board size, and with respect to size of districts, proportion. I don't know if it makes any sense. Pros and cons. I don't know what the pros and cons are really, one way or the other. And I'll just come back to the board with some information on that. Just move forward.
Okay. Anything else to add to the discussion? Moving on to public comment. We've set aside 10 minutes for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to add a comment to our meeting? As of this time, it does not appear to be so. Next is our presentations. We've got Michael Bowers from Bowers and Wood CPA and PCs. It's a 2015-16 audit report.
Evening, everybody. I am the independent auditor. So my team comes in the summertime and we audit the books and records of the district from July 1st through June 30th. And we gather the information to prepare this financial statement report, which is 70 some odd pages long. I met with the audit committee a couple weeks ago and we went through most of this report for the good part of an hour. So I'm here this evening to present the report, answer any questions anybody has. So with that being said, just a couple of things I want to point out. Our opinion on this report is unmodified, which means it's a clean opinion. So that's what you're looking for. The general fund for the year, the revenues, this is on page 17 if anybody wants to follow along. The revenues exceeded the expenditures by $1.8 million. That's on page 17, which brought your fund balance from 8.9 up to 10.7. That's on the bottom of page 17. Now, it's important to remember that fund balance is, some of it's restricted for particular uses, and you'll see that on page 16 at the bottom. So some of that fund balance can be spent only on certain items. So I think that page is important for the board. That's page 17. Another page that's important, I would say, would be 53 and 54. Those pages compare the actual revenue and the actual expenses to the budgeted amounts. So on page 53 is the revenue side. The third column is the actual revenues. Came in at 38.9. The budget was estimated to be 38.6. So it came in about $300,000 over. Page 54 does the same thing on the expenditure side. The third column is the actual expenses. So if you looked at the fourth line from the bottom, it's $37 million in expenses compared to a budgeted amount of 40.9. So expenses came in under the budget. So as a board member, I think those pages are the more important ones to understand how they work. Anybody have any questions? No questions this year?
I'll ask one. So based on the changes with the state and budget funding, how do you see this pro forma going forward in the plan that we have for the next couple of years? Do you see any risk? You know, this is a nice audit. How do you see this with respect to how the state's changing and the budget issues and the changes with fiscal state responsibility and wonder what?
Well, you're asking for an opinion. Auditors don't do well with opinions.
Well, not even real opinions. I mean, this is a good audit. It's, you know, it's unmodified. Yeah. is a place for us to be, and we've been like that for several years. Many years now, it's been a good spot, and I don't see going forward with the changes that the state's having us being in any kind of precarious position. Is there anything that we should be aware of that we should be concerned about going forward with what the state is doing and how we're doing this?
Not that I'm aware of, but I will point out that your fund balance is, your unassigned fund balance, which is compared to that 4% state law, is at 9.8%. which is over the 4% max. But I do have other districts that are, some are lower. There are several that are higher than that. I think 10% is a reasonable number, but I can't say that.
Sure.
Because the state law says 4%. So I think districts is in a good spot, that their fund balance is set aside in the legal reserves. And the fund that 9.8% is even though it's over four, I don't see it to be extremely high.
Can I add to that? That's a good question, because we are always looking long-term. Been forwarding a lot of information from the comptroller to the business office, because the comptroller comes in and audits you, and they'll find you. If you don't have enough fund balance, they're going to say you did a poor job budgeting. If you have too much fund balance, they're going to say you did a poor job budgeting. Well, what the comptroller is also saying to everybody is it's going to be a really, really tight fiscal year, and really get ready, because there's not going to be a lot of funding. So we talked about this last year. We knew that we were going to have a low number for a tax cap this year because the consumer price index was low, and we knew that we're going to have a low number this year because the consumer price index is still low. And if you look at any financial information out there, they don't see the consumer price index ever climbing back up to 4, or like some years would be at 4 or 5%, and that's what drives the 2% tax gap. So with that being said, we're at least in a good position with fund balance this coming year. Those schools that aren't, again, I just worry, because there's only so many, you know, since I've been here, we've had a 0.77 and a 0.6, was it 0.66 or 6.8. So, you know, those are hard, and this year's probably going to be another year like that. Yeah. So 3 years less than one, that's kind of hard. One year was I think it was Mr. King said, let's go with 3.5, because you never know when you can get there again. So, and that was actually, that was this year that we just audited, was the year we finished with 3.5.
Thank you, everybody.
Moving on to reports. Does the superintendent of schools, Dan
Minnix, have anything to report? I do have a few things today. Bear with me, I have a list here. First one I want to share with you, and I've received a few of these kind of notes, one actually from Pauline Stone, and a couple from other sources, but I'm just going to read to you a note to parents from a teacher. It's so cool to have every student walk into class with a computer, exclamation mark. We are incorporating Chromebooks into nearly everything we do in ELA, and the class is pretty much paperless at this point. We have already used a variety of programs, including Pear Deck, and that's what you guys went through with Mike, you know, Pear Deck. Google Classroom, Google Docs, Google Calendar, Google Forms, Quizlet, Read Theory, Grammar Flip, Castle Learning, and Renaissance Learning. From my point of view, Chromebooks have increased student engagement, and the programs we use provide quicker, more meaningful feedback to students. We'll continue to introduce new programs, especially programs that allow students to present information in various ways. And he goes on to think, you know, talk to the parents about a couple other things. But that's a teacher who wasn't in phase one. That's a teacher who just finished training and is thriving in that environment. And the kids are thriving in that environment, which is great, and they're becoming much more independent. The principal search is going well. I've met with all the candidates, and the candidates will be coming in as etched out in our hiring process. They'll come in and meet with the administrative team. Then they'll go to a committee, a stakeholders committee. They'll have a table much like this, and they'll be on the hot seat, take over here. And Kathy Buck will be serving on that committee, correctly. And then they'll come to the Board of Education. And that should all happen between now and the meeting in November. And I am just getting over a cold. So the high school ag program, or ag teacher, has worked really hard to not only start his program, but also bring to Beatmintown the future farmers of America. So, you know, when we talk about technology and everything we love about technology, don't forget we also like the project-based and hands-on learning, and to have the future farmers of America here is great. It's a long overdue. I think the future farmers of America, they have officers that come and visit the school and check out the school and make sure it's a good fit, and they were blown away by the environment that they saw here at Beatmintown. So want to report to you on that. Interestingly, the district, as you know, we've gone out and done our research to make sure that our technology plan was going to be implemented flawlessly, but now actually people are asking us to go present. So within the next few months, we'll be sending a couple folks to Florida to present. A team is going to Princeton, New Jersey to present. We got asked today to go down to Albany to present. And most importantly, next week, we'll be going to the West Side Ballroom to present on project-based learning and changing our environment here at Pekin Town. Our capital project, and I'm not going to steal the thunder from Mr. Hagedorn, who runs the operations committee, is really shaping up nice. And I just firmly believe that it's something we need to do for our students. And I think our students deserve it. I think we're going to put together a great project. Right now, you're seeing the as everybody's talked globally about what they'd like, now's that balancing with the scope and that tug and that pull of figuring out what you can really put into the project. Because the bottom line is, we're not going to go to the taxpayers and say, well, if we, you know, we can add that and it's going to be just another 15 cents per thousand. The deal here is, it's no cost to the taxpayers. And we worked hard. Even yesterday at Columbus Day, fiscal advisors emailed us, and with a bunch of spreadsheets and everything, first thing in the morning we talked about it. So we're going through that pull and push right now. And we're also looking for some items which we may be able to achieve a little quicker, because the capital project does take a little bit longer, that may be less expensive and that we could handle in-house. It's always nice to continue the work we do anyways. We have 8 Google certified educators on staff. They've been recently desiring to take the test to be a Google certified educator. We have 8 on staff right now. We have a few more that are willing to go put the extra effort in and study once again and obtain their certification. But our administrators and our teachers have been enjoying that environment and are definitely leading the way. Our PD plan was approved by the New York State Education Department. And another interesting topic, we put in a distance learning room, and some of you have seen that. I think I've shared pictures. And the distance learning room allows, actually our ag teacher, once again, is actually teaching a class, and there's kids from other schools that are taking a class with a couple of our students, and it's high-def TVs right there, and it's really interactive. But we also have some kids that are taking classes from instructors in Galway, I think. They may be. But we also found out that not only can their kids obtain college credit for some of these classes, but some of the community colleges, if you're on reduced lunch, you only have to pay 50% of the cost for the credits. And if you're on free lunch, then you get free credits. Now, that doesn't happen here at Clinton Community College, but that information's new to us, so our kids are going to benefit from that. But we'll see if that's something that that Clinton Community College can do as well. So I just think that's great. Not only do we have distance learning, but we're certainly making it easier for those kids that may not have the means to afford college or college credits to at least put a couple in their back pocket, because then they may actually see themselves going to the workforce and going to college, or vice versa, going to college and then the workforce, which may not have happened otherwise.
Is this up to the college whether they go on that program?
Yeah, and Principal Gardner, when he called, he brought it to my attention, when he called to some of the colleges, the community colleges down in central New York, that's just the norm down there. That's just the way they've handled it. So they were kind of surprised. So it may be a good dialogue to start. I know Clinton Community College has financing issues just like everybody, but it may be a benefit.
But if they're not willing, we could pursue from another college elsewhere.
Well, certainly. That's the beautiful thing about the distance learning is,
yeah,
if we're getting college credits from those institutions like Cobble Skill, they have that in play.
Which might be something that would ignite some interest with Clinton, because I don't know, perhaps they would want to know.
It could. I can see that.
That's nice.
It is
nice. This is exciting. Very much. Truly. Something that some of us have talked about for a long time. Love it.
This technology is great, Dan, but it's costing me money.
What had happened?
Well, this weekend, my son decides that he's something that he really wants. And he pulls my wife and I to the living room. and there's a Chromecast of a PowerPoint presentation for my 12-year-old on why he needs this something. Multi-page, laid out with what he wants, reasons, and a final discussion. So, nice job to the teachers, administrators. Now I have to get the thing done.
It's not a dog, is it?
No. It was something electronic.
Why do you need a dog?
But it was great. It was cool. Yeah, I felt like I was in one of my business boardrooms. It was pretty cool.
Is that it for reports?
That's what I have for reports. Yeah.
Next, school business executive, Mary Lane.
On the agenda tonight are a few budget transfers. The first one I just wanted to point out is something new for us with the mandated water testing that you may have heard some about. We historically have been on a program to do copper and lead testing, but this had to be expanded to all the taps in the district. Mm-hmm. And the anticipated cost, it was 453 taps at, I want to say, $15 a piece for the test. So the first budget transfer is just for that. We have funds in that account, but that's to cover the normal program testing that we do. This is for the increased testing that was under a very strict deadline.
I wanted to add that the neighboring district was the first district in, and their source had no lead in it, but the taps, seven taps, had lead in the taps, and that's not uncommon. So we've, like Mary said, we've tested our water source for years and there hasn't been lead, but if you have a tap and just a faucet, and it certainly, if the water doesn't run often, you can accumulate some lead just in that first bit. So don't be surprised if we have a couple, but please rest assured that it's not our main source.
Or if it's old.
If it's old or if it's stagnant.
Some of the other budget transfers were, we are doing the textbook consumables reallocation amongst all the buildings based upon the orders, and the reclassification of the bus purchase between band coded and interfund transfer code. I also wanted to bring to the board's attention, the business office recently attended a training session put on by Jackie Kelleher and the school business officials group, the Adirondack chapter, for Department of Labor changes that are coming out, that have come out and will be effective in December regarding classification of certain salaried workers between exempt and non-exempt and eligible for overtime. So that's on our radar screen. We're studying it, we're looking at it, and I'll have a full report to the superintendent, which he will then pass along to people. And as far as the capital project progress, again, I just wanted to reiterate that as we are continuing to balance and adjust the scope of it, I wanted to just remind everybody, we've been talking about this for a couple of years now. It did play into our long-term financing forecast. We talked about the tax levy, us trying to insulate it from volatility by employing this project, the timing of it right now, as other debt services maturing off from our financials, so that allows us that stability to build in and actually protects our tax cap levy calculation as well, so that portion of it doesn't go away. And budget advisory committees have talked about this before the operations committee started talking about it. So it's been in the works for a long time, and we are really coming to the final stages of it.
Well, I asked Joanne to do some legwork and take a look at the board table. How many times over the last year have we talked about a capital project? And out of the last 13 meetings, we've talked about a capital project in 12 of those 13 meetings. The only meeting we didn't talk about a capital project was the BOCES budget vote. And that's where we go in, vote yes or no, and leave. So it's been for a whole year. And it was prior to that because it was part of our long-term financial planning. That's kind of what Ed was just talking about with our audit report. It all ties in.
Next, we have our student board member, Alexis Markey.
Okay, so for Cumberland Head just held its fifth Eagle Palooza on October 2nd. There they had a half mile and a 1 mile child fun run. It had music, bouncy houses, apple desserts, pancake breakfast, and the town fire department brought over 300 lunch for the kids to see. The recess from lunch program was implemented, and so far it's been running smoothly. Baz has as well.
Today was the start of WIN time for every grade level. WIN stands for what I need, which is time for students to get the help they need with a certain learning standard for an above and beyond experience. And it will be focused up to focus time period throughout the year. And several grades have already taken their field trips so far. For the elementary, BAS offerings have been so far greatly enjoyed, and next week will be the second session. WIN time has also been implemented as it was at Cumberland Head, and it's also running smoothly. And on October 21st, there will be a fall festival with games, obstacle courses, and more from 6 to 7:30, and the entire community is welcome. And for the middle school, there has been four field trips that have taken place so far this year. Team Summit went to Arbitech in Vermont, where they focused on collaboration, team building, and overcoming personal obstacles. Team Ascent culminated a month-long study of Everest by doing a hike up Earl's Gate Mountain. One student, upon reaching the summit, exclaimed, "This was the best day of my life." Team Vertex went to High Falls Gorge in Lake Placid, where they participated in activities to explore hands-on earth science and advanced math concepts. Team Peak visited Banker's Orchard, where they practiced skills for independent living and understanding the process. Understanding the process of farm production for apples in the North Country. The ELT programs are going very well with students, and they're participating in a variety of activities, which everyone seems to really enjoy. Some students are assisting in elementary classrooms, which has been very popular. The middle school Talent Mart, which is basically a smaller version of the Eagle Mart that we have right down the hall, is a small school store where students learn all the aspects of running a small business and what it takes to do so. Students in Trash to Treasure have been creating great projects using recycled household products like toilet paper rolls, cans, and bottle caps. And students in Eagle Pride through community service have selected the local Feral Cat Society to work with this quarter. They are currently collecting coins to support Focus on Ferals, which I'm sure you've seen because there's posters everywhere. They look awesome. And for the high school, we just had our pep rally about a week or two ago now, where they presented a video of all the seniors that play sports and other things using our new projection system, which was incredible. They did an amazing job where Mrs. Yvette Manny, who's a teacher in that elementary, actually took the pictures because she needed a photographer on the side. Sports so far, we're doing great in them in almost every sport you could really imagine right at the moment. Chromebooks were issued to some seniors, not the entire class, but seniors are finally getting a taste for it. Anyone in a foreign language or AP literature got one. The Future Business Leaders of America are having their second annual job fair this year, and we're hoping to expand it. And the Harvard Model UN team just had a paint party fundraiser because we do have two low-income kids on our team this year because we expanded it. So it actually went really well. We had an attendance of 20 people. And Mrs. Hall, which is our art teacher, actually, she raised the price a little bit, but she also gave us a little bit more, so we ended up getting quite a bit from it, which we didn't expect what we hoped for. And that's about it.
You have enough to cover for the kids?
At the moment, I'm not sure. I should know because I'm the president, but I don't. Mrs. Bonneville is kind of taking the spin on it this year. Mr. Tuller is teaching her ways, but he's kind of stepping back more so she can really get into the program. And as far as I know, we're where we should be, but I know we're planning on more fundraisers. We just, our next meeting's in about 2 or 3 weeks, and that's when we're going to discuss that.
I'm not going to elaborate a lot on our audit committee meeting because it was with Mike Bolus, and we covered our audit report, of which we just did a presentation on. So we'll move it right to operations committee.
Good. You want to hear one point that the audit committee did talk about the fund balance issue?
Yes.
So go ahead. Okay.
You go ahead. Are
so,
you going to talk in this meeting?
So we like to have, and you saw this in our long-term budget, $1.2 million allocating that fund balance to to the next year's budget. And we kind of plan on that. So this year, there's more than 1.2, it's not a lot. Well, depends on your definition of a lot, I guess. But there's more than $1.2 million left at the end of the year. And the comptroller gives you a couple of best practices, which they look favorably on. And one of those is to put remainders into a cap reserve, because then it's controlled by the taxpayers. And we had 80-something percent of our voters approve the cap reserve when we went out for our last vote. So the audit committee, based on discussions with the treasurer and the business executive, and I agree as well, thought that they should take the remainder of the fund balance above the 1.2 and put it on a proposition in November that the board adopted that would go to the voters to allocate the remainder of that fund balance to our current cap reserve, which would be one further step of protection to ensure that there's no cost to the taxpayers for any of this building project. And the number, Mary, you might have a number.
Roughly $357,000 amount. And it also, whether it's needed for local share, even if it's not needed for local share, it's still funds to put aside towards that project, which is one of the things that the comptroller's office recommends when you have excess fund balances, paying down debt service. Well, we went and incurred debt service to the extent that we put this aside to cover it, so we don't go there to begin with. So either way that we need it, it's following one of the recommendations that we would anticipate coming.
And if we don't spend it, it just stays there for another time.
Would that still keep us within the 18 million that we had talked about before?
That would.
I mean, are they expecting to go above the 18 million?
So right now, well, that's part of the operation.
Oh, okay.
Right now we met October 3rd, Monday, and we continue to fine tune the scope. It's ever evolving. Every meeting is big changes, and we actually were at 19.5 million, and after this last meeting, we kind of reduced it to 18.5 million. But I think the answer to your question is, as it continues to evolve, that would be in addition, right, to what we've.
I mean, will it allow you to do more, or that all depends on the board and the private side? I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Mary, do you want to add it?
Right. The scope of the project is within the control of the Operations Committee and the Board of Education. It's something we continue, we've taken very broad concepts of what we'd like to see in the capital project as it came initially off the building condition survey report, and we just keep whittling away at that, saying, okay, well, how much of this is being done in the energy performance contract? Let's immediately just knock all that stuff out. It's been a multi-step process over several months, and as Mr. Hagedorn said, one month it was at 19 plus million. This last meeting last week was down 18 plus million. So it's fluctuating back and forth as we are continuing to tighten in on what that scope looks like. And that is within the full control of the Board of Education to determine that final scope.
But now physical advisors told us we could go to how much without going over?
So that's what we asked them to do some research again, and they came through on yesterday. So they said if you had $500,000 in the cap reserve and 90% of your project was aidable, so you had other items, 10% of your items just weren't. The state says
right. It's
great, you can't aid it. Then if you had $500,000 with all the other factors involved, you could do an $18 million project. If you went to put $750,000 away, you could do, I forgot what that number is, it's not like 19.5. And it was a million. So they had a ladder. We're not proposing to put the money in there
to necessarily increase a project size. I think the better way to look at it is we're putting the money in there to ensure that, number one, we're good stewards with taxpayers' money, but number two, to make sure that there's no costs on that project. It's just one more. I think Mr. Maurer asked a question one time. If this was something happens that you didn't foresee, what, you have a safeguard in there. And there are contingencies in there. But again, I look at it as one more safeguard to make sure that the number one intent of this is no cost to the taxpayers, which people like to do. We hold true to that.
Well, that's the biggest thing, is because we said there would be no cost.
Yeah.
We don't want to keep raising that so there is going to be a cost.
No.
And then the other part, they're going to say, well, we already gave you permission for a $500,000. I don't want them to come back and say to us, hey, when are you going to stop?
Right.
We need to stop before they do.
Right.
You know, before they get mad at us.
Right. So I was on the phone this morning with Tetra Tech, talking parking lots, talking this thing through. So we're continuously pushing and pulling this things to come in at a project that we've been talking about for over a year now. We're not going to come in and say, you know, and knock people over and be like, well, that's not what I was expecting. Nobody has any desire to do that.
Yeah, but are we still going for January or something like that for a vote? So what I'm saying is, when we go out to that vote, you got to bring them a figure.
Oh yeah.
So that's going to be before you would put this money, because you won't be able to vote on the other one until May, right?
So we're going to hit our mark on saying no cost to the taxpayers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we're based on best practices. So like I said, I don't want to marry the two together, the move to move money into
the reserve.
Well, it's a great move. It's a best practice. We're not going to say, I don't think we're going to say that plus that is no cost to the taxpayers. More than likely what we're going to say is, this is what we've been talking about. Here it is. Here's some money that we would allocate to a cap reserve, because it's just a great way to protect that money, taxpayer money, and the taxpayers have a complete say on how to utilize that money.
Great.
Do you want to add anything?
Just that, going back to when Mrs. Crowley was here in January and gave us those projections and handed her PowerPoints out to the board, and those proposals, it was $18 million, $19.5 million, and $21 million that she had given, with cap reserves between $500,000 and $1.5 million, resulting with neutral tax implications, no new cost to taxpayers. Again, our balancing act is taking items that are in the scope that are aidable or not aidable, that flushes out in the assumptions. So balancing those continues to be the task that we are working on. But I would also say, anything we put in the cap reserve, we need voter approval to put the money into the reserve. We need voter approval to spend that money out of the reserve. It is a legal reserve, as our independent auditor had just mentioned. We have already other legal reserves, like, you know, our retirement employee benefits reserve, you know, those reserves. But the cap reserve, since we've got this excess that came out of this most recent audit, that we had revenues come in higher than we anticipated, expenditures lower, we can safeguard that, and the voters really continue to have control over it.
So that was the first item in our meeting, actually talking about this audit and finding some surplus money. It doesn't give us like a blank check and where we're going to spend it. It was, as the project continues to change, I mean, one of the things kind of jumping out of order of whatever we talked about, but example, you know, you find things like, oh, well, we forgot about this, or not forgot about, but this is an additional interesting thing to think about. So these things are popping up in every meeting, and, you know, we're fortunate to have Tetra Tech, who's done these projects, you know, all over the state to guide us, hey, you know, think about this. And then, you know, we have a nice committee, so we have those ideas coming from everybody, including board members, and been a continual work process progress. But anyway, so we are trying to be good stewards of the money. Like I said, it was prior to the last meeting, it was the project was 19.5, and now we're at 18.5. You did receive the board received the meeting notes, so you have a lot of this. But some things I'd like to point out was like there was an increase in item one, educational space, mostly involving the LGI, the large group instruction room. You know, the way you know they looked at it, our architects, they said, well, they were going to increase the footage, so that increased the price there a little bit. Talking about traffic safety, geez, the parking lot out here changes almost daily because of good ideas, and you know, there's so many variables. And I remember Kathy had a good point about pick up and drop off, and they're like, oh yeah, so let's try to work that in. And they're in touch with the mechanics pretty regularly about, you know, changes. And so I look forward to every meeting about, you know, where are we now. But we had, you know, a good discussion on the parking lot. Yeah, the next item was the athletic fields. Continuing to try to be efficient, we're going to move the bleachers. Someone had to do a little research on what it would cost, would it be worthwhile to move the bleachers where they are now to where they would be, including a nice scoreboard that we have. And Mr. Myers, our athletic coordinator, was expressing to us what a nice scoreboard we have in the press box, and we don't like to keep that. And so we believe that's going to save us some money. But then there's, if we're going to have this nice field, what do we do about lights? And we've talked continually about hoping that we can find some fundraising to raise the taxpayers part of that, so it wouldn't actually be part of the CAP project. And because there's a large part of 8%, which would be able.
Yeah, so that it wouldn't be in the CAT project, but it would. Okay. The board would only, the lights would go up if we had assurances that the funding for the 20%, because 80% of that money is going to come from the state, 78.5, and the rest comes from the taxpayers or CAPRs or another source. We're saying for lights, that money needs to come from local fundraising. So for those lights to be hoisted up and raised, so there's got to be an effort across our school community to get, so it's really about $80,000.
One thing that came up in this meeting that hadn't been brought up before, at least to my my memory, was the possibility, well, you have this nice field, what about public restrooms? And there's discussion about, you know, a small field house that might have some bathrooms for the public, you know, or like that's something we really should consider, or would it be a priority two item? You know, fiscal advisors and helping us with the scope financially is going to be involved with those discussions, as well as, you know, Tetra Tech coming back. We're meeting again October 26th to, you know, get more input on that. But these are some of the things that continue evolving. Another thing that would be interesting in the area that we have taking a big chunk out of the some of the last projections of the scope was in the bus garage. We know the bus garage needs some improvements, but Mr. Noonan suggested that the roof actually is in fair shape, and the life of that building in general might not be extremely long. So why spend $1 million on the bus garage if we might not have it for many years? Do what we need to do, and it was suggested that a whole new bus garage might be $2 million, so why put $1 million into it now? So we're making some changes, but we took a fair amount of money out of that item, but are making important changes there still. Mechanical work in the main buildings, it's close to the same. There's some money saved. Mr. Noonan again said there's some of these ventilators that are in some of the rooms that are certainly in good shape, and we weren't necessarily going to rip them all out.
We were going to rip out the ventilators. One of the things that happened in the energy performance contract was the canopies those beautiful canopies that whoever was on the committee saw and liked so much. State Ed didn't approve those. So that left $300,000. So they pushed that money into the air balancing and air ventilation. So that allowed us to free up some capacity in the capital project. So that had a domino effect.
Can I ask a question on that? Can, so some of the, I don't know if it's something you have funds for now, but the temperature control in a lot of the classrooms is not good. So I've had a lot of, okay, exactly. So I've had a lot of concerns from students from elementary, middle school, high school. Some rooms, for some reason, get either really hot or really cold, and I don't know if that's something that this capital budget will address long term, but there's something.
Yeah, well, let me give you a little bit of what I've been working on. I know a lot more about parking lots, believe it or not. But ventilation and air balancing, I've actually said at one meeting that I may become an air balancer when I retire. And what you're talking about is air balancing. And so what we're going to do is right now, the problem is, if you can imagine, a pipe of water going all the hot water going all the way down the building, but in each building or in each room, it's got to go in and heat up a coil. And the problem is, it doesn't get all the way down to the end of the building, because no matter what, right now in our system, it goes in and heats up the coil. And if that room doesn't need the heat, that heat goes out up through a vent, okay? And then keeps going. But by the time it gets down there, all the heat's gone. Right. So what we'll have are these little valves, these little sensor valves, that if the room doesn't need heat, the water will go into the coil. And no longer will we be sending any heat
right in
up through the vent. So that, all those sensors alone, should get the heat all the way down to the end of the building. Cooling, we don't have AC. Right? But also then, on top of that, this notion of air balancing is a big issue in our building because it's never really been done. So we have air balancing experts that are coming in and are going to balance the air and work on exactly what you know, that feel. You feel cold in a certain area. How do you get the warm air to push into there? It's an art. And we're putting a lot of money into perfecting that.
Isn't that under our energy performance contract?
All our energy performance right now. But it wasn't to the extent we have much more into it now, because that's where the canopy money went, for the most part, was into even more of those controls. So the unit ventilation, which Mike was talking about, we don't need as much unit ventilation now because of the sensors and the balancing. Sorry.
Leonard's point, the energy performance contract a year ago, we were talking about also not just air balance, a little different is positive and negative pressures, you know. We were having leaking windows, doors, you know, hallways, entrances, and the energy performance contract certainly addressed that. And then you talk about air balancing, it's going to be a whole new experience as far as heating and keeping the building comfortable. So there's been a lot of engineers involved in those decisions between Siemens and Tetra Tech, and so it's major changes, and there's major changes in this capital project all throughout, but also tying the energy performance contract is mind-boggling to me. It's really great. Last thing was I was talking about the main building and CHS mechanical work. That was at $2 million, and due to some of this changes, it's down to $1.2 million. The next steps is, like I said, we're meeting October 26th. We're going to further define the scope, and then the next meeting, our next board meeting, we're looking to get the scope approved.
The board vote.
So then we have Garrett Anderson, or Garrett Hamlin, our Tetra Tech, describes it as a lump of clay. And I thought that was a good analogy, that, okay, we have the lump of clay, It's going to change a little bit, but by then we'll have, you know, the parameters set. So we'll know what we're doing with the capital project. We'll just need a little bit of molding to it after that, which will be allowable within the project. Again, as I said before, fiscal advisors is helping with us determine the school.
The board will continue to have control over the scope of the project even after the board votes in November as to what the scope will be on the referendum for the voters going out to vote on. But even after the voters and the board determine what that scope is, remember the architects drop all the specifications and we go out to bid. And something that we learned from the last project is when we drop that scope and the specifications, it's broad enough that if the bids come in low, there's additional items that we can take a look at within that. So what you see in this scope, you know, isn't necessarily everything that we could hit. Maybe it's a little more, maybe it's a little less, but there's wiggle room in there. And as Garrett had explained to us with the lump of clay, this is what we're looking at for a project. But remember, as we go to bid and the bids come in really high or really low, the board still has control at that point to continue to modify that project.
When do we anticipate final proposal before the vote next time? How far before that?
That will be it. Yeah.
Right, I know that. But there's a final document that has to be voted on that needs to be reviewed, right? So when do they provide that final proposal document?
Final scope.
Yeah.
When the operations committee meets at the next meeting, we'll be determining what the recommendation is to come to the board for the final scope. So that's what will be coming to the board, and that's what will go to the vote. The board is approving what's going to be on the ballot for the voters. It's not going to be details of all the scope items. It's going to be the lump of clay. It's the big right number. This is what we're going for, and the assumptions that we're doing it on. You know, tax neutral, no new taxes. We're going to shoot for 18 million, 19 million, whatever that number is. I can't, you know, project what that is.
So the scope isn't finalized yet. You're going to finalize at the next meeting and make a recommendation at the meeting at the same time?
Yes.
Before coming to the board?
Yeah. Okay. We're pretty close, but like I said, it's just this thing going on. Months, a year.
We've been in pages and pages of detail on all of these items
we
that make this up.
We try to give the big picture to everybody, but really, this is the document that has really all the things we're attached to the capital project. So, once we have the scope finalized, we'll be dropping in it probably.
Okay. And if anybody has any concerns or questions, please reach out to Mr. Manick so that we can address any questions you have. I mean, we're talking every day, so we kind of take a lot of it in stride as we're moving from one thing to the next thing. But certainly if any of you have any questions about this and you're not on the operations committee, please reach out to Mr. Manick and we'll get all the information to you.
Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolution on this consent agenda, minutes and CSE and CPSE recommendations, be and are hereby approved. Motion, please.
Motion. Second.
Thank you. Any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolution on this consent agenda, resignations, appointments, and recalls, preferred eligibility list, be and are hereby approved. Motion.
Motion.
Any We are approving Marissa Dandro as an English teacher, and I would like to welcome her back to our staff. All right.
Kathy, you need to bring it to a vote.
Oh, I guess we should vote. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nays? Abstains? Thank you. That's right, one of these days I'll get this right, I promise. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolution on this consent agenda, municipal corporation agreement with NCCS, shared services agreement with Saranac, purchase of services agreement with CDFC, rental agreement with North Country Kids, and standard work days to the New York State ERS be and hereby approved. Motion?
Motion.
Second? All approved?
Aye.
Nays? Abstains? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolution on this consent agenda, financial reports, transfers, acceptance of audit report, and disposal of district property be and are hereby approved.
Motion.
Good. Requesting roll call.
Andrew Brockway, Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Michael Hagedorn.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Jason Marsh. Kenneth Maller.
Yes.
Pasco.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
We have additional items to discuss, starting with the board retreat.
Talk to the board president and vice president about this at our agenda setting meeting. And the New York State School Board Association, the person that we had originally identified as being pretty good is pretty good. They're so good that they received a promotion and they're no longer in the board retreats anymore. And so we were just somewhat concerned that that person wasn't going to be our facilitator. And the thought that came up, well, do we want to do that, or do we want to bring in an expert on a different topic? Instead of the do's and don'ts of the board, which might be more valuable after we bring in four new members, do we want to bring in an expert to talk about, say, transgender? But we've already done that. We've already talked about the transgender in depth. But we could certainly have a board retreat where we talk about the new Common Core standards have just been modified and changed, and then also the new federal legislation surrounding Every Child Succeeds Act. Is that the way we pronounce that? Every Child Succeeds Act. And those changes that are coming. Or other topics. So it's up to you. I know we can find some really good people who can give us an update and drive some discussion. But what does the board want out of the retreat? I mean, we had a pretty good retreat plan, but the person, the owner, is no longer here, so we're kind of going back to the drawing board.
I think that some of what you've mentioned is all good, but some of these topics maybe too could be discussed in this type of public forum. Mm-hmm. We have a lot facing us in the coming year in terms of recruitment, generating interest in the board, in the district. And maybe we could just utilize the time as a general housekeeping session and brainstorm some ideas for how we're going to do that, divide up into some committees to start working on this upcoming process, because we do need work. And with four new members coming in at a time, it's time to revisit the whole new member board package. There are a lot of things that we can be working on within, so perhaps.
General professional development kind of thing?
Yes.
General professional development?
Yes. And maybe there is somebody who can. I don't know. You said you were looking into some different things, but maybe we can find someone who helps us to facilitate what we need to do in terms of board recruitment.
Well, the dangerous gentleman that does it for CES is pretty good. He's not a part of the news about it, but he's been pretty effective.
See the guy who does the strategic plan.
He's got great reviews from all the staff at CES.
Hey, Don, on what subject? The guy you mentioned?
The strategic plan of the whole institution. Improving it, moving forward, aligning it to what the independent district's needs are. You know, also trying to get some feedback and then addressing it with the internal staff going forward. And I think, Dan, you've been involved in some of those briefings, right? For the strategic planning briefings from CBS.
Mark Dave tells us it's going well and says that match pretty good. That's really big stand there. Sorry, I mean, it just.
No, it's just good enough.
Yeah. Been overly really involved in it, and you know, her staff likes it, and I've heard really good positive things.
I think that's probably done well, but probably always to be better. One thing I was thinking about is in past retreats, we've discussed board goals, and it always seems to be difficult. You know, I think we've done it, it's just, it just seems hard. I've enjoyed discussing fine tuning our goals.
What do you folks think? What's the majority say?
I've spoken my piece.
why don't we just give some thought to this and give you some feedback? There's a result tonight, but I think we should do something professional development.
I mean, we're pushing November.
No, so. I'm saying we should do it. Now it's a question of creating an agenda, right?
Okay, I see. Okay.
I think what anybody suggesting we don't do it, right?
I haven't heard that. Yeah, I guess this is the topic. What's going to be the most valuable use of your time?
So maybe we'll send out an email to the board and ask everybody to.
What everybody would like to see on the agenda, and then maybe we'll consolidate an agenda for some time.
Kathy, do you have any idea or thoughts?
Well, I was part of the discussion, that's why. I personally believe that with four new people coming on, I would almost like the goal setting and more professional development to happen while they're here, because if we don't, that leaves them a huge gap until they do. So personally, I was more interested in picking a topic and becoming more educated in it. Goal setting, though, I find to be very important, and I think at times we set too many goals that are not defined enough. So. A retreat based on appropriate goal setting or meaningful goal setting might actually be an outstanding topic for us. So,
years past, Mr. Smith looked at our goals beforehand.
Yeah.
And has critiqued
it. And then he came back and he was great and he was great again. And part of that dialogue was, it was great, but maybe what could we do differently? That's why we went down a different road. Was, you know, you want to, I love to go to a conference, but I like to go to different conferences or do things. But, and it's goal setting, we can definitely do that. But I mean, we did just approve our goals for 2 years, but we can easily do that. There's a few people.
I think maybe a small piece.
Yeah. Small piece.
You know, or you critique it. And then I do like your idea of Concord. You know, I think it's something we all always need to be updated on. But I guess we'll send out an email and we'll.
Yeah. Email, people can give us what they'd like, and we'll see if we can put something that has most of that together.
The next is the CEWW meeting in Westside Bowling. There's two of these coming up. One is November 17th, it's Successful Community Engagement. Are you looking for commitment right now?
If you want to go, they're going to talk a lot about social media, how to use social media, they're going to school messaging, PR. I think we do a pretty good job here. There may be we have a number of people on Twitter now, really broadcasting some of the great things we're doing. They have the new director of your safety clubs and the Council of School Superintendents coming in to talk about that. So if you'd let us know, we can book you. It's not a dinner. It's kind of like heavy apps, maybe. Heavy apps.
Yeah.
He's a very engaging speaker. He is very good. Chuck Peter is
coming. I saw the flyer. I don't recall the time.
Those usually start at
6:30
or so.
6 o'clock, social hour, or hers, 6:30 program begins. Chuck Peter, who ran CAP Region Post.
Is it like a 2 or 3 hour program, I think it's
It's generally never quite 2 hours. I think they try to keep it shorter than that. I would think you'll speak for an hour. Yes.
Interesting.
November 1st is the deadline to register.
The next one is addressing the needs for transgender and gender non-conforming students. That one is January 5th. I do not know that.
Yeah, we don't need commitment on that right now. So.
Are those public?
There's a school board association meeting. They may look. We do have an executive session.
I'm on it. Yes.
You guys voted on new business section 7, since you guys voted me for the Boards Association meeting. Does anybody have any feedback for me for the resolutions that we're voting on?
Set aside 10 minutes for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to add to our meeting? All right, seeing that no one has anything to say, we will go next to Clerk Pro Tem. Resolved that the Board of Education appoint.
Let's go with Leonard.
I might not be here. I might have to leave, so I'm probably going to not take it.
It won't take long, but.
Oh.
Kathy.
All right, I'll do it. So we have a motion. We need a second.
Motion or a second.
For Clerk Pro Tem. I do not remember that tonight. All in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Abstains? The next, we do have an executive session this evening to discuss the medical financial credit or employment history of a particular person's. Will there be any action?
No.
I am looking for a motion.
Motion.
Ed?
Second.
Ken?
Hey.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.